Well, hello, my friends, and Kungaloosh to you all. That's a little Adventurers Club lingo for you. Well, this week we have skipper Dave Casella with us on the podcast, and we couldn't be happier to have him. Dave had a couple of tours around the jungle, and he was always a source of great whimsy and amusement to everyone who worked with him. Now, we were originally going to split this into two episodes to go up on September 9th and 16th, but there really wasn't a good place to split it, so we're going to put the entire thing up. That means the next episode's not going to go up until September 23rd, but we'll make sure the Facebook page gets some new comics and some other fun new content. I'd like to thank everyone for the support on Facebook. Please keep on letting your friends know about us, and thanks for all your support, not just your Jungle friends, but anyone who loves Disney. We're live on iTunes. Just search Jungle Cruise, one word, Jungle C-R-E-W-S. It'll come right up under podcasts. We have a ton of exciting content coming up soon, so just make sure you stay tuned. And now, episode 3 of your Tales from the Jungle Cruise.
Can find whatever you may need. If you got the money, honey, we got your disease in the jungle. Welcome to the jungle. Watch it bring you to your knees. I wanna watch you bleed.
Airplane mode mine, so that's always the easy.
Oh, I didn't even do that. I just turned it off.
So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls out there in the adventure land of the internet, welcome to the Tales from the Jungle Cruise, episode 2, which we don't have a name for yet. A couple little quick housekeeping notes. We thanks everyone for listening to the first two episodes. I know we had some sound quality issues on the second one, but I think this is going to be a lot better. Of course, keep on referring people to the website and to the Facebook. I appreciate all of the support that we've gotten. So episode 2, ladies and gentlemen, I am so happy to have with me here Skipper Dave C. Yay!
Hey, this is great.
So aloha.
Aloha.
So now everyone who knows Dave will know which Dave it is. So.
Yeah, because I'll say, thanks for catching those spears. And then maybe you'll tell them who it is.
So for those of us who know the Dave, so cool. Thanks for coming down and sitting down. We Dave, we got to work together for about a year on the Happy Jungle Boat ride. We always, for legal purposes, it's a Jungle Cruise, as in C-R-E-W-S.
Gotcha.
So we're not infringing on the silly copyrights or
no worries,
getting letters from lawyers. So
I don't want legal to come down.
No, because they have spears and they have sticks and they have
lawsuits. Scorpions.
Yes, which would be great if they actually had the band The Scorpions serving the notice. That would be, then I would be okay with it.
That would be at least creative.
Here, I'm still loving you. Uh-oh. So we got to work together for about a year on the Happy Boat ride, and it was a good time. I guess to give a little background, you have had probably more theme park experience than nearly anyone else that I've known at the attraction. So, I mean, I knew of the fact that you had worked at Orlando.
Right, the Disney World. I actually did first where I thought I was going to the, you know, I initially said I wanted to do the Jungle Cruise, and they were like, you can do it, but once the summer's over, you won't be getting anything. You know, it was like CT. I'm like, well, no, I'm moving here from New York. I want to be at the jungle. And she's like, well, what about pirates merchandise? And all I heard was pirates. So I was like, yes! And sure enough, I was at the Pirates gift shop and right next to Jungle Cruise for a year, and then transferred to Epcot to do their attractions because never got to do Jungle Cruise at Disney World. So I did Epcot attractions for like 2 years, and then I went over and opened MGM Studios, and that was awesome.
So how old were you when you started at
21.
Oh my goodness.
21. And then after MGM, I went on to other adventures and other theme parks, and then I moved to Hollywood, you know, to work in the movies. And so all these years later, before I met you, I came in and I said, hey, I could work at I was actually working on Fantasia 2000, mm-hmm. and as a PA, and we had the weekends free, so I was like, hey, I should go do the Jungle Cruise. So I did that 98, 99. And then when the summer was coming, it was going to be, you need to work all summer, and I only had the weekends. So I put it on hold, and then in 03, that's when I did my second tour. Mm-hmm. So I guess you could say Disneyland was my fourth park doing Jungle Cruise twice. So it was kind of exciting.
Yeah, very cool. Now, when you were at MGM Studios, you were doing the Great Movie Ride.
Great, and you had to audition for the Great Movie Ride.
Right, that was a big deal.
It was like the elite position. And a lot of people thought of like Jungle Cruise at Disney, at the Magic Kingdom, was the like this amazing thing to be at. And Epcot, they had to listen to the Land Boat Ride, which mm-hmm. I also did. Which was a 28-minute spiel. Completely, nothing was automated. You did the whole thing. So that was like Epcot's version of Jungle. So instead of funny and entertaining, it was informative and wholesome, I guess.
Yeah.
So of course, MGM, you had to do their version, which was, I guess, in certain people's frame of mind, it was the movie ride. And of course, everyone wanted the movie ride. No one wanted the backstage tour. So you had all audition. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, all audition. And so I'm auditioning, and they stopped me in the middle mm-hmm. and said, you got it. So they were very happy to send me.
Well, how long were you on that attraction?
That attraction as well, 1 year. Because over there, you could only do either the tour guide mm-hmm. who gets, you know, killed or scared. Now I think they get scared in both venues. But if you were in the gangster, you died. And I used to actually fall down the stairs, and then I'd fall in the pit at the end. So how I'm, you know,
in one
alive,
piece.
I don't know. But and they didn't know. They couldn't believe the way I would fall. And I had no stunt training, but I knew how to fall on wooden stairs, I guess. But then I tried to be the gangster, but they never let me be the bank robber. So I was only gangster or tour guide or the star of the day parade out in front. That was really cool, too. But it was like, where are you going to move to, you know? And then they were opening a new technical theme park at Universal, and is that okay to mention?
Oh, yeah. No.
Okay. So,
we refuse to acknowledge the existence of the Universal.
Well, I was leaving a pause just in case.
No.
But boom, I had the chance to really be mm-hmm. like a tech or a pyro. Not that I always wanted to be those things, but they were like more gauging me towards someday yep. being the next Hitchcock or the next Spielberg or next Mel Brooks.
Yeah, it was giving you more of the background you wanted.
Right, and it wasn't happening at MGM, and I didn't even know that there was like tech positions mm-hmm. over there. So when the opportunity came, I said goodbye to Universal or Disney, went to Universal, which was unheard of because at the time I was working there, and it was 1986 to 1989, mm-hmm. and. Well, let me put it this way.
96 or 86?
86. It was 86 to 89. Those were my first four mm-hmm. Disney years. But back in 86, I'm not kidding you, my roommates and I, we could actually, like, pick up a girl just by saying we worked at Disney. It was that prestigious, and it was very hard to get a job there. I mean, it was, I remember going to Kmart to get film developed, and people there were, like, so envious that I was working, or so angry that they couldn't get in. It was crazy. Of course, now it's so big, I think it's a lot easier to get a job at Disney World, but back then you couldn't, and spring break was like months long because you had all the colleges coming in. So, you know, it was like being on a roadie or on a film crew. It's just, wow, you work at Disney. It was really something unique.
Oh, well, so, and I think I get that a little bit still in the California area, the Southern California, when, you know, I'm having a discussion with someone, and it's like, oh yeah, I worked at Disneyland, still a skipper. And in this area, it really is about being a skipper. I mean, there's just this mystique that's attached to it, that it is amazing the reactions you get from people who just are blown away that that's what you've done.
Isn't it the crazy? It's like...
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, you're a rock star. I mean, it's...
And that's like in a realm here with that, and it was like that over there. But check this out as I quick fast forward. If a producer is looking at my resume, you know, there's Survivor, there's Ghost Hunters, there's all this crazy stuff. And at the very bottom, it says, and skipper at the Jungle Cruise. Mm-hmm. So they look at it and they go, oh, you did that? You know, they're like more.
It's like the magnet.
Like they're more impressed with like something that was special to me. Mm-hmm. Not like, you worked on Survivor. It was like, I'm like, really? That's what, so it's, there's something special about this jungle. And that's why I love that new Trader Sam's bar.
Oh yeah,
I
mean, the bar is
that's
fantastic.
Just brilliant. And it's so simple, and it's brilliant. It's perfect.
Yeah. And it's one of those, if, you know, I think if it would have come at any other time, I think the timing on it is good. You know, I think if it had shown up in the early 90s, you know, mm-hmm. by the time it gets to now, I mean, part of the sad thing for me is that, you know, the Adventurers Club now has been closed 3 or 4 years.
Right. Well, they got part of it at the bar.
At the bar, definitely. And there's pictures of the Colonel and...
And that bottle that the shipwreck. You know. And I remember watching that years ago there, and it was so weird to watch it here.
Oh, my God. And you know, I went to Orlando twice, and... for me, the Adventurers Club was the thing to go and do.
Wow.
I mean, it was, I went, the second trip, I went 4 nights in a row.
Wow.
Which annoyed the heck out of the girl that I was seeing at the time. She was so like, can we go to a piano bar, or can we go
somewhere
go out for dinner and go see Cirque du Soleil? And I'm like, no, honey, we really, this is 4 days of my life, and this is where I want to be at. And I actually, over the course of those 4 days, got to be kind of friends with some of the cast down there at the Adventurers Club. They actually brought me up on stage, which apparently was a very rare thing, that they actually, during one of the early night shows, the cabaret shows, and I can't remember the character's name, but the kind of aviator, Hathaway Brown.
All right.
During one of Hathaway Brown's shows, and actually brought me up on stage, and I told jungle stories for like maybe 3 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes. It wasn't a big chunk of the show or anything, but it was a few minutes of it. And I remember that the big thing that slayed them was I went to the Canary Islands, but there were no canaries. I went to the Sandwich Islands, there were no sandwiches. And then I went to the Virgin Islands, and there were no canaries or sandwiches either. I was so disappointed. And that brought it down. So they actually asked me to come audition. This would have been 05. And they actually asked me to come and audition and be a character down there. And I was just scared of the humidity, and there were some other life changes for me at the time.
Right.
But it would have been great. I mean, that's, for me, there has not yet been any place that has that atmosphere that I felt at home. I mean, it was like the perfect little geek mecca.
There's something about this Trader Sam's that I just... Yeah. I loved it. And there was a bar in Florida. It was called the Big Bamboo. Mm-hmm. And it was just some dive bar off like over behind Xanadu, the House of the Future was like right on the 192 before it was even a four-lane road. It was just this two-lane road, and this bar was in the back, and it was almost like the Norman Bates Hotel. It went belly up because no one could see it anymore. It was back there, and you put your name tag up in the bar, and it was just a bar. And this Trader Sam's has a hint of that, and a hint of the Adventurers Club, and then, of course, all the different tiki and everything that's Adventureland. It's perfect.
Yeah, and I would love to see. I'm sure you know it's tough because I mean they have to run a business, and it's you know there's a difficulty with jungle that there's a. I think Benny called it the fetishization of jungle, where it becomes this almost bigger thing for people. You know, it becomes more than just a job, and there's this.
Well, I do see, like when I was there for both the 98-99 tour and the 03 tour, when I've gone back there to see if anybody I know is still there, like Jerry or whoever, you know, there is a little bit of a. And like, why are you talking to us? I don't mean to be rude or anything, but there's this, like you said, there's
like every generation feels like it's theirs.
Yeah, and it's like this is you know not mine anymore.
Well, and I think that's you know there's also the you can never go back thing. You know, I went back and did a second tour and did Indian Jungle and a few other things, and the first time when I had done. Lincoln and Jungle and that area the first time through, you know, it was fantastic. The second time, I mean, a little bit of the, you know, the shine because it was a different crew and different generations and their time had passed. And I think that it's hard to go back. I mean, I still don't regret going back at all. That second time was fantastic and I got to do a lot of other things that were really outside. I did university and some other things.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, there's this, you really can't go back. That first summer, that first time that you have it is magical. And yeah. I hope that to the skippers, if there's people who are working there today who get to hear the podcast, that's a big takeaway is, you know, love what you're doing now because this is the most magical moment that you're ever going to have in your life.
I got pretty lucky in both of them.
Yeah.
And in some ways, I was making, if you remember, I was making a Jungle Cruise, the movie, and I wanted to start it with Jungle Cruise with 40 or more skippers, and I edited them all together. So you had the ultimate Jungle Cruise in 7 minutes, you know, by, you know, 40 different skippers. And then it would fade into the movie that I wanted to do, which now, of course, Tom Hanks is going to do.
And that's going to be, you know... You know, obviously, no one knows the script. No one knows what they're going to do with it. You know, it could be another Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
It could be another Pirates. And my only concern isn't the... it isn't as much the movie itself, but they have this history of going back to the rides and reimagineering some of the rides. You know, Pirates got the Johnny Depp character, and, you know, Mansion got the revised Leota for a little bit. So that's my bigger concern is what they're going to do with that. What the change to the attraction is. And I think there's that big question. Were you there when the piranhas went in? Was that?
I was already gone and then came back one day to see it. And Tiffany and David were there they wanted to see my reaction to the new. And I loved it. I really did. I thought it was. Like, they took away, you know, jokes that we would make there because there's piranhas there. So I was like, okay, if I came back, I wouldn't be able to make my, because when I used to go through the what was it? It was called the Rapids. You know, I'd make this big, I'd get everyone prepared to hold on, like, we were really going to go over. And then we made it, you know, it was like,
yeah,
1 second, you know. So you couldn't really make that joke.
It took a, and I think that of course things have shifted as the ride has changed over the years, just with the logistics of it. For me, that was actually it felt like it added a little bit of danger, which not for the adults, but I mean mainly for the kids, you know.
Oh no, I love them. I was just saying, I was like, oh okay, there goes that joke, but
oh, yeah.
I don't care. That was just brilliant,
yeah.
And the fact that. that as you're leaving, you know, a few more show up and there's no even hint to it.
Yeah, I think it's actually the equivalent moment to kind of how with Mansion, with the stretching room and the lightning at the end of that, with, you know, the guy who's hanging. It's kind of that moment where that's the really scary thing. That's the really, for kids, that's the moment that really gets them. And then it kind of relaxes from that point out of Mansion. So it's a good...
Right, like they started, we ended.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think that was good. And I think even the water cannons and all the other things that were added. Sorry, the explosive cannons.
The
monkeys throwing the explosives and all. It was good.
When that happened, you know, when it happens twice, I was like, oh, how cool.
Yeah.
But the only thing I don't like about it, and this is more of a silly thing, but when I first worked at the jungle in my first tour, mm-hmm. I got lucky in both times. I really loved them both. I used to wear this bandana. It was one other thing that was so nice about the Jungle Cruise, is it was the only ride in the park where you could alter your costume, where now you can't do that. But back when we were there, you could. And one thing I did was I took charcoal from the Bengal barbecue, or whatever it is, over by the petting zoo. I actually went over, got a piece of charcoal, and I would put like claw marks on my back of my shirt, because I couldn't rip the shirt, mm-hmm. but I could make these claw marks. And one of my jokes was, when you saw the tiger, I said, don't worry, he can't jump this far. And then I turned around to steer, and everyone saw the claw marks. And then the other thing I did costume was I had a bandana. So instead of throwing my shoes in the jungle,
leaving your boots behind it.
Leaving the boots. Instead of leaving it there in that gorilla camp, I put my bandana, and I actually snuck into the jungle, which I used to go in there all the time. They even said, no more safaris. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, going into the jungle. I'm like, oh, safaris. Because I was in there every day, you know. But that last night, I didn't even do a special last boat. I just did one last boat. You know, I didn't do anything monumentous on either tour, but I did my last one, and then I went out there and I put my bandana hanging from I used the tie wrap, and it hung for years. It looked so natural. No one even realized it wasn't supposed to be there, just like the boots. Why would you? But eventually they clear out the boots, you know. But the bandana stood there for years. Then when I came back in 2003, I was making my Jungle Cruise the movie, and it was too hard to get out of my skipper costume, get into my street clothes, film a sequence, and then back into the costume, and then back onto the boat. It was taking forever. And one of the leads liked the fact, morale-wise, that I was making the movie, but the other one was like, it's 1936, how do you have a camcorder? Mm-hmm. So I got this anti-costume, which was this giant, giant brown shirt that when I put on, it covered me right to my ankles. So I was able to film my movie with this shirt on and then take the shirt off and go do a spiel. So on my last night, I took the shirt and I tied it around the barrel. So for years, you'd see my shirt and my bandana hanging there in the gorilla camp, and it wasn't until they redid it with the explosions that those two went away. So that's the only thing I don't like about the new. So in other words, I love it, but they took my two things away. But that's okay. And there was something else I wanted to tell you. You just reminded me of something about the. Oh, I don't know if you ever did this. I always heard, like, they have canoe competitions.
Oh, yeah, the canoe races right. Every year.
So I heard that they had this marathon to see who could do this, you know, just keep doing your spiel. Don't get off and
oh, at Jungle.
At
the,
Jungle.
The four, yeah. No, yes, that was, there was the summer when things were still a little lax, and it was the how many trips in a row could you do with no bathroom and no
suddenly unloading or loading right. or anything. So I remember me and this one guy, we did it. We kept going around and around and
through
around.
Your entire shift.
All day. It was like an 8-hour shift, and I was going around and around and around.
I know KJ did that. KJ was big on that.
I forget who I did it with, but then halfway through, he didn't even really, we were both in some kind of a weird like state, I guess, because he's like, I said, how many times have you, he's like, what? I'm like, why are we doing this then? So,
well, I remember that summer was when we had, there was overtime to be had, like left and right that summer. And there were days where I would open up Jungle at 8 in the morning and there would either be call-outs, they had open shifts, or I'd switch into Fantasmic and I'd be there till midnight. And I'd pull, you know, 14, 16-hour days at the park in various roles. And it was fantastic. I mean, the checks were great and the time was amazing. And I got to, you know, it was a magical summer. That 03, 04, you know, era was just, you know,
stunning. There was something about that. I never did overtime anywhere at Disney over the years, except we were at Epcot and they needed help getting the Grand Floridian ready. So they brought us over to help like clean, like power wash the ground. They gave me a bucket, a white bucket with warm water and a washcloth. And they said, just go around the building. And I'm like, and do I get in the fraternity now? It was like the silliest thing, but I mean, somebody had to do it. But I felt like I wasn't doing anything. And this was the first time I ever got something called overtime. But doing overtime at Jungle must have been great.
Oh, yeah.
I just know I would be there after, I don't know anything about, like, how long after your shift, how are you still on property? But I remember just being there going through at night, just up on the top with like vines going right over me. It was great, you know? I loved all this.
No, and it was, you know, and I think that's, I think every generation holds on to their time at Jungle as being special. And I've never tried to fall into that trap. I've always tried to have a good perspective. You know, every generation gets their summer. Every generation gets their boats and their way of looking at it. And it's perfect for them. Whatever moment they have is absolutely perfect. And that's, you know, maybe it was because when I was working there, I was in my 30s. Maybe that was a different perspective that I had. But, you know, it's tough because I think, you know, there's a tendency to hold on to it and be like, no, this is the best time that's ever been at Jungle ever. And you know what? It's temporal. You know, it's special for everyone who goes through it. And I think that there's, you know, obviously a camaraderie with skippers. It's more of a fraternity or sorority rolled up together with the ladies. You know, it's more of that kind of an environment where it's not necessarily, like I comment on the podcast before, it's not like, you know, hey, we worked rocket rods. This was amazing. You know, people still will hold on to it. And I'm in the middle of setting people up for interviews for podcasts. And I have people as far back as the 80s that I'm working on getting together for this. So we're going to get some stories, some history. I'm working on hopefully the first female skippers ever.
Wow.
So that's going to be, I mean, I think that's going to be amazing to keep on putting this oral history of the attraction down. Well,
speaking of history, one thing that I, like the whole time I was at the Listen to the Land boat ride, there's no video of me. I don't even think we had video back then.
They had a camera with there was a dinosaur on the inside who would chisel away pictures on a rock plate.
He would, well, hopefully really, it wasn't really that fast. Old, but there were camcorders where you know, your eyepiece was here and your camera was here. So it was weird, but still I didn't, you know, and I had a movie camera, Super 8 movie camera, but there's no video or footage or anything of me doing the Listen to the Land boat ride. Mm-hmm. Years later, when I was doing the Great Movie Ride, there's a couple of videos. Excuse me. I videotaped some people, but there aren't many videos of me even doing the movie ride. So when I did the Jungle Cruise, I made sure that I had that on tape.
Yeah.
But when I
have you burned that to DVD yet? Have you?
Moved you it know, over? All of that's still like on VHSC or Digital 8. Or high mini DV,
yeah.
But I've actually put my 2000 spiel. I have that on a disc, you mm-hmm. know. But what I did, and that's why when you said history, knowing that I never got certain things of my Disney career on tape, mm-hmm. when I was doing my Jungle Cruise the movie, like I said, I needed 10 seconds from each skipper. And I wanted to get like 80 skippers, but I only was able to get about 40. Mm-hmm. And initially I was just going to film just, okay, you do the part in front of danger, danger, you know, and then I'll do the part with the elephants. Look, those are elephants. And we'll have him do the, you know, mm-hmm. and I was just going to have everybody do the scene that I needed. And then I thought, no, I'm just going to film everybody's spiel.
Edit it out.
And then edit it together. But what I did, and I got it to a handful of them, but I put every single person's spiel on tape mm-hmm. for them, for their memories, for when they're older or when they sure. have kids or something, you know, because I don't want them to say, oh, I never got a copy. Well, now you do, you know.
And my copy, of course, there's a VHS, but no player, because...
Aha, that's great!
Who has the VHS player anymore? So, no, that would be... We're talking the same thing with Benny with Water Wars, you know, with that recording. So, no, so let me just kind of, you know, random thoughts. I mean, do you go into the park at all on a regular basis? Do you have an AP? Do you go and see friends? I mean, how often do you go down?
I don't go every day. If
which would be you would get paid if you went right, out. That right. would be so much easier. But
even when I was doing some work with Disney, which allowed me to get in for free, mm-hmm. even then I didn't go every day unless I was over on that side of town and had to kill a few hours. I'm like, oh, I know what I'm going, you know. I noticed that when I do go, I don't go to the jungle as much. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because it's not the same or if I have to be with the night crew or if the more, I don't know. I just don't go over there as much. And I think when I do go, I want it to be special. So I don't want to just like, oh, I'm in the park. I'm going to kill some time. Let me go on the jungle. No, I want it to be, I'm going to jungle today. I want it to be a little more special. Same with Tiki Room. And let me quick tell you, when I worked at Disney World,
oh my gosh! And they're changing. They're going back. They're no longer doing under new management.
Oh, thank
Did
goodness!
Did you hear that? That's yeah. going to be gone.
I saw a whole DVD about it, and I'm so happy because
it was such. And it's funny if you talk to anyone who has been down to Orlando of the Skipper crew, it is universally hated.
Oh,
and it's held on for how many years? 12, 14?
All I know is I wish I could have been there during the pit. Now, I know how the animator or the Imagineers worked on it, but I don't know who gave the official, and no offense to anybody, but I would have loved to have been there to say, hey, why don't we have some big band music? We'll play Benny Goodman and everyone will be dancing. And everyone would look at me like, what? And then I'd be, exactly. So why are you picking the Macarena? Just because it's popular right now? Oh, do you think it's going to be popular in 6 months? So I don't even understand the new management at all. Yeah. I understand that there was talk that they were going to yank the ride completely. And that was how they fixed it. Yeah. So it didn't get... So I'm glad they saved the ride.
And it's funny because I hear that the Tokyo version of it is amazing. That there's a female macaw who does Fever, you know, the You Give Me Fever song in like Japanese. And it's, I mean, it's supposed to be just a beautifully done ride.
Wow.
Whereas you have under new management, which just felt like a cash-in.
Well, maybe the new management was the prototype for that one.
I don't know.
And like I said, I'm glad they saved it because it was going to be gutted.
Yeah.
But I don't like what they did. Now I hear they're going back to the original.
Yeah, which I'm so happy about.
But check this out. Back in 1986, if you worked Tiki Room, you were a girl only. And it was if you were, at least from what I understood, if you were I would say the general populations of females working Tiki were females who were not doing a good job. So it was like a punishment. And the same with the Swiss Family Treehouse. If you were a bad male employee, you got sent to the treehouse. So these were considered...
See, that makes so much sense because I actually... you know, Jerry made me a treehouse lead. He just basically gave me one of those little plastic... I didn't even know it wasn't a real microphone, a real... a real walkie-talkie. He just said, hey, Kyle, go go be in Treehouse for 8 hours and climb those stairs for 8 hours.
Well, check it out.
It's jungle cardio. That was what it was. When we had to walk that, you know, every 15 minutes, no, whatever, it was jungle cardio.
Wait, check this out. All right, so it's 1998. I don't mean to interrupt, but check it out. Like I said, in my mind, you went to Treehouse if you were a bad male employee, and you went to Tiki if you were a bad female employee. That's the way I understood it at Disney World. So when I came to Disneyland to do the Jungle Cruise, and they said, you're going to be doing Tiki and the Treehouse, and I'm like, but I didn't do anything wrong.
I know, and I'm not a bad female cast member.
And that, yeah.
Although, you know, I would have been a horrible female cast member, because I tried the culottes on a number of times, and I just really, it didn't fit my form.
And the mustache, too.
Well, no, that because of no mustache at the time. So,
well, at the time you were, really? Yeah. They didn't have
No, the first time I was around, there was the no mustache rule.
Gotcha.
And, yeah, it's funny. I grew the facial hair 3 days after I left. It just appeared.
Of course.
It was like the beard in the Kids in the Hall sketch.
Uh-huh,
when,
I know that.
When he comes back from vacation, the beard just starts moving around and growing and getting angry.
Well, anyway, so when I was going to do Jungle or Tiki in the Treehouse, I always loved the Treehouse. But I'm like, I have to do the Tiki room. I was so upset. And then they were like, just try it. You'll love it. And I did. And I used to go into the jungle every day and cut bamboo poles because custodial every night would throw them away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how are we going to wake up Jose? So I would cut poles every day. And I loved doing the Tiki.
I pulled Tiki for like 6 months. I was consistently on opens for Tiki at least 3 days a week.
Wow.
3 to 4. And I loved when you were in the morning shift, you would get the VIP tours. And they would come in, the guest relations plaids would come in. And there were times where they've said the same thing over and over so many times. They were just like, oh, you know what? We know that you know your stuff, so why don't you give this family an amazing,
wow,
you know, private show? And we'd give them a little history, and we'd talk about it, and, you know, really a bang. Tiki for me was the little extra blessing that you got from
Mark Jungle.
There,
yeah.
Jungle, so.
I actually, thanks to Tiffany, I got it. They were going to throw it away, but I got a guest compliment from the way I used to do the Tiki room, because what I did was I imagined what it was like in 63, and I would make all, especially the kids who were waiting to go into the Tiki room, I would make them all, we'd do a tour of each Tiki god, so I'd gather them all around, and I would interact with the Tiki gods,
and you're out in the lanai,
and yeah, and I would go from Tiki god to Tiki god to Tiki god, and then we'd go in. And some guest, he must have been 17 or 10 when Tiki opened. And I don't know what they did back then, but he said, this is what it reminded
what
me
it felt
of
like.
When I used to go. So I, whatever, I brought that back. So that was a cool thing, because I made sure that if you were at Tiki when I was there, it was just as special.
Oh, it was a show. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
And it was... And I always tried to have that interaction. I mean, that... You know, and at the time, we weren't getting the counts at Tiki. And, you know, that was before the big remodel of the lanai. And,
right,
you know, there were nights where we would have 3 and 4 shows in a row that were nearly empty or totally empty. And Tiki just wasn't getting it. And that was before they started doing the annual passes, the lower prices, or the, you know, really pushing the APs for the locals. It was right when the Halloween time was just starting to take off, and there was still an off season. So, I mean, there were times where Tiki would be a...
Remember, it used to open, like, later than the rest of the
park. Yeah, like an hour
or
two, you know, just because it wasn't getting... And then after the remodel in the 40... It was like the 40th anniversary of Tiki was when they did the remodel. And I don't remember exactly, but that was when we really started getting the crowds again. And I remember any time that we had a sold-out show, you know, any time, we were ecstatic to have the numbers through there. And I'm sure management loved that, too.
I remember Skipper Mike, he had a big Tiki hat that he made, and when he closed Tiki that night, it was the anniversary, the 35th anniversary or whatever.
Yeah.
And he came back, and I was talking the lead would always be, they called
the little recap, the little evening.
No, at Jungle.
Oh, the manager's office?
No, the manager's office.
Yeah.
we were there and they were...
You have just lost jungle points for that.
Yes, I know. I just lost because I'm all excited because I feel so bad.
You know, three more demerits, Dave, and we'll quit calling you Skipper if you forget those basics.
Well, I anyway, all I remember, he came back and I had said, yeah, I guess it's sad that they're closing it now that it's exactly 35 years. And he was like, what? And the other two guys were just looking sad to, you know, like I didn't mean to play this joke on him, but I did on accident. But there was something so special about the two, you know. Oh, yeah. And then the other thing I know I'm yapping a lot here, but when I first did my tour, there weren't breaks, there weren't like or tasks, there was no tasks. So the way the rotation worked on my second tour was you did like load, spiel, unload, spiel, and then exit, and then you'd have to do a task, and then you took a break. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it would say go walk the treehouse, like you're required.
Well, that was CDS. Was CDS
in? No, I still wasn't CDS.
That was before CDS. Okay.
But they were like, you need to check the treehouse.
Sure.
And I was like, well, that's what I was going to do anyway. Because on my break, I didn't care about sitting and having a soda or something. I would go on the treehouse, or I would go into Tiki Room. I would do something.
Make a little magic.
Not even at least magic for myself, but I would just go through it. So it was like, and I also did both Swiss Family Treehouse and Tarzan Treehouse. So I got to do, in a way, four connections to jungle.
And, you know, when I went to Orlando, I got to do a guest trip on the Jungle Cruise in Orlando.
Were you spieled?
Where I spieled. And it was, I went down there and I was talking to them on the rotation. And I talked to, they didn't really have a lead system at the time. It was, I'm sure they had people in charge, but it wasn't as formalized as, they tried to explain it to me. And it was a January or February, and it was low traffic, and I was talking to them. I'm like, you know, hey, can we go out and take a boat out? Mm-hmm. And they got this shocked look in their face. I'm like, did I say something wrong? And they're like, oh, no, we would love that.
Really?
So I actually have had a chance to spiel Jungle in Orlando, and then on a random note, I've actually spieled other attractions at Disneyland. I've spieled Small World with Skippers we went out and took a boat out and I told stupid jokes when there were no other guests around. And I've spieled Pirates and
really
just with other skippers, There was no guests around, but we just went out and we told stupid jokes on the other water rides. So I actually have spieled or told jokes in pretty much every water ride at Disneyland.
Wow. So. I've been in, well, let me tell you something. When I went to do, I did this thing where...
Now, having said that, I still respected the magic.
Right,
of course. Didn't do it with guests around. I didn't do it in a way that was disruptive.
No, I understand.
I want to caveat that, because those who know me...
That's great.
...know that I was OG.
when I... Remember there was, behind the shipping office, there was that little room... Mm-hmm. Like a closet that no one ever opened. I mean, it was just
a storage closet.
But
let's not spoil
it. I don't think it was ever.
Magical closet.
That magical closet. So no one knew what it was. I didn't even know what it was. So I had said in this video, I said, does anyone know where this door goes to? And you see me on tape, open it up, and I go through it. And I close the door behind me. Then, cut to Disney World's
coming out of there,
and I came out of a closet or not a closet but like another storage facility or something,
right,
at Disney World. So I'm like, that's where that door goes. So I instantly went from our jungle here in Disneyland to the jungle.
I wish we had a jungle TARDIS.
Yeah, that would be great. In my world we do, and it worked out pretty good. But what was funny was they thought, when I asked them, I brought my costume and everything, and I asked, do you think? And they're like, no spiels are allowed, because some skipper years earlier ruined it for everybody.
Thanks. It was me, wasn't it?
No, it was before you. Somebody had ruined it so that you can't do that anymore, because they went nuts. And, you know, they didn't respect the magic or whatever, so they were like, no more. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what he thought I was going to ask. And I was like, no. And then he saw what I did. And he actually taped it for me, which was nice. And then years later, I went back to visit, and my old movie ride lead was the lead at the Jungle Cruise there. So it was kind of a nice,
yeah,
you know,
symmetry,
spiel to spiel, you know.
And they were, you know, and this they were fantastic there. The only thing that was rough was that was days after, like a day or two after the Thunder incident was when I was in. So maybe it wasn't February, but we were the accident that happened with
at
Big Thunder. So I spent my entire vacation answering questions about that. People would see my Disneyland ID and would want to talk for 10 or 15 minutes about it because they cared. You know, there was that universal, you know, concern for what had happened.
I remember I called friends because I wasn't there at the time. And I had, you know, everybody went, like, when I was at Jungle, I only wanted Jungle. I didn't want to do, I didn't move here to work Thunder Mountain. Right. And I didn't move here to work Jungle. But since I'm doing Jungle, that's all I wanted to do. I could care less about any of the other, any of the other things in the Tiki Room. It was enough, you know, if it was going to be different from Jungle and Swiss Family.
So did you have any other knowledges at...
No, didn't even want them.
And I ended up doing Lincoln with Skipper Mike, the famous Tiki Room Mike, and ended up doing an amazing time at Lincoln. That was one of my favorite other things I had done there. And shout out to Samantha, who was my trainer there, who also ended up working with me at Indiana Jones.
Wow.
And I mean, yeah, so I mean, that was...
Well, I think that's another thing. Like when, you know, when they said you're going to do Tiki Room, I was like, what? And then, like
you felt, it would pull you away from what you were doing.
Well, or not even that. I just was like I said at the time, I also thought that was some sort of...
Punishment.
But I think when you get a different attraction, you know, you don't realize how much fun. Because at Epcot, I did three main Future World attractions, but then I would do Greeter at all the other ones, because you couldn't do Spaceship if you didn't have the knowledge, but you could do Greeter. So, you know, you did Greeter as Living Seas or whatever, you know. And I was like the first person in the history of the world to do the Wonders of Life, that because they had taken the wall down and people could fall in the hole. So they pulled me from Horizons, which was my favorite ride, to make sure no one got hurt till they got a safety thing up. But I think you don't realize that, you know, it's not just Jungle that's special, but like Lincoln was special, and you wouldn't have known it if you didn't go over
there. Absolutely. But you escaped Florida before they put in the Great Energy Ride with Ellen, right? You didn't have to see that?
I did not. When I was there...
That was...
I actually like what they did, but I don't like... What I don't like about it is what they did with... It's like, okay, don't tell my supervisor, but we're going to go on our own special tour. And then you go over to Dinosaur, and it's like, which used to be called a Countdown to Extinction.
Yeah.
You know, and then don't tell my supervisor, but, you know, so no offense, but it's like the same bit. Like, okay, we're going to take a special, you know, and Test Track, same thing. So it's like, you know,
we're breaking the rules just for this awesome ride for you as a guest.
Yeah, it's like we've seen that, you know. I'm surprised they haven't done that now at the Norway ride. But my point is...
the Norway ride is the little sleeper ride that could at Epcot. That's the people who know Epcot go on it because it's awesome.
I love it. They just don't know that it's there. But
I know. It's kind of like... I think all of that whole... All of the pavilions there with the international, that's just... You know, fun times.
The whole place was great. And, you know, back then, you know, I guess they still do it. They go, we're going drinking around the world. And it's like, I've only heard that a million times, you know. But it's still cool because that's what you do.
And then, you know, now you have Mission Space, which...
You can't...
I would love for them to stick that somewhere in Disneyland or, you know, DC.
Yeah, but as much as it's a cool ride...
It's a beyond cool ride.
Well, but I have a problem with it because, you see, I did Horizons, and that they literally leveled Horizons to put in Mission Space.
Yeah.
Now I hear a rumor that there was a sinkhole, but I don't think that's true. And it's like one of the first time they ever leveled a ride, I think, in Disney history. Yeah.
You can do that with Interventions.
But
you could level
Interventions. That's another thing. Interventions doesn't make sense because when I was at Epcot, it was only 5 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I was at the land boats first, and then World of Motion and Horizon second, mm-hmm. and then I was the trainer and lead. And back then, they actually management came to you and said, "We'd like you to be a lead and a trainer." There was no
interview process.
No interview. There was no. I hope to. They came to you and said it was pretty nice. But I didn't even know. I didn't know this was some special thing. It's like, oh yeah, I'd love to. But those were my three rides, and Horizons was my favorite. I knew mm-hmm. every nook and cranny of that building, from the highest beam to the basement to behind the IMAX. I was in every place in that building.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great, great ride. And it never had a line because it was so well designed. Yeah. Even when World of Motion and Energy had huge lines, ours was still small because it was so well designed. So the fact that they leveled it to put in Mission Space just kind of bothers me. And I'm glad that they put in a little nod to Horizons and a nod to Mission to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you could have put Mission Space somewhere else and left Horizons. So
they have no land down just there. There's no land at all.
That's
sarcasm, in case you didn't know what that was.
I see. Now it makes sense. But I loved Horizons, and I miss that, But I hear they're making a digital. I've seen it, like a digital version, so you can sort of
still
go through
love
it.
Love the memories.
But anyway, I'm getting away from my Jungle Cruise. So that's what's nice. You have your different rides mm-hmm. that make that special for you. And if you don't expect it, look at that.
So now, what was your, when you were at Jungle, either time you went through, what was your magic moment that if someone came up to you and said, tell me a Jungle story, or tell me about either a guest interaction or a celebrity interaction, what's the old walnut that you go back to every time that when someone says, oh, you were a skipper, tell me about something that happened, or,
Wow.
I mean, what's the thing that you keep in your pocket that's kind of your instant response to impress people, or the thing that has a sentimental attachment to you?
Well, I think no one ever asked, so come to, right off the top of my head, what I noticed at Disney World, when I, when I said yes to Pirates, I didn't realize I was saying yes to Pirates merchandise. Mm-hmm. So I was in a gift shop, and over there, merchandise was, as far as I could tell, merchandise was considered lower than
attractions. But really, you have to ask the question at this point, isn't everything with Pirates merchandise? I mean, even the ride, it's just a way to sell Johnny.
Oh, I guess you could say that is a merchandising thing. I never thought of that. That's very good. But no, over there, if you were in rides and then you were in gift shops.
Like there was a tiering.
Was a tiering. So when I tried to get into Jungle, and I knew people at this point, I had a lot of skipper friends from just going to Pizza Hut and being me goofing around in a restaurant. I met other people who were skippers, and we just were suddenly best friends, and I hung around with a whole bunch of the skippers, and I knew most skippers at Disney World and at Disneyland hated it.
Mm-hmm.
Hated doing Jungle, hated going around, believe it or not, they absolutely hated it. So I knew all the more, then let me come in. But they wouldn't let me in. Mm-hmm. Someone up there wouldn't let me go from merchandise to attractions at the Magic Kingdom. So I got to go over to Epcot, which was wonderful, and I just kept moving up and moving up till it was time to go to MGM. Same thing at Disneyland. As soon as I realized I was going to do the Jungle Cruise, they had me, and then I'll get to my magic moment thing in a minute. But when they interviewed me, they saw my background. I had pyro and lighting and tech and audio, and I mean, you would be blown away at some of the things I've done. So they didn't want me to go to Jungle. They wanted me to be a tech, and they made me interview to the attack. And the two women, they were like, okay, he needs to be on stage in front of the guests. And that's how I got the jungle. But initially, I was going to be a tech. And I was like, I already did tech. I want to do the jungle. Because it was the only thing I didn't do at Disney World. So, keeping this short, doing the jungle, I noticed there were people there who also didn't like doing it. So I, every time I got a Fantasmic shift, which I did not want to do.
You would swap it out.
I would always swap it out. So I always got, I did Fantasmic once in my whole life, once, and that was enough. And I always got jungle. So I guess my magic moment is the way I did this, the jungle was so, I don't know what you'd call it, so random or so.
Frenetic.
I don't know what it is. It was like the way I did it, it was like 1955. And I would.
I don't think they had the drugs in 1955 that would have caused you to.
Well,
do that
perhaps.
Random, so.
But
I think there was a little energy with you that was very unique.
Well, maybe there was a unique. But I say golly and rats. But on the spiel, I would deliberately say Swell and Jiminy Cricket. So I was made it very 1955. Mm-hmm. And I would act as if I was taking people through the jungle. And an elephant was something no one knew what it was. So I would explain, those are elephants. And it was so bizarre, like what you just said, with like whatever it was, that the way I did it, it was so bizarre. I guess you could say my magic kind of moment was to know other skippers were riding my boat. That meant so much to me because first guests were requesting me, which the only ones that I knew that did that was for Maynard. I never heard of a guest requesting anybody else, and then suddenly they were requesting me. So that was unreal. And then the fact that the skippers who just do it all day long, why would they want to go ride somebody else's boat? Mm-hmm. Suddenly they were riding my boat on their break. So to me, that meant a lot because these guys have seen it, you know, a million times, and now they're riding mine. So that, and I remember a manager couldn't understand why does my boat come back wet every single time. And I said, well, why don't you ride it? And she did. And I had her laughing, and she's been there before any of us. She'd been there forever. And to have her laugh again made me, wow, you know, that's, you know, I think it's hard to make people laugh to begin with. And here I'm making someone who knows these jokes laugh, you know. And when I ride a boat today, if this skipper makes me laugh or says something special, I like tell him afterwards or tell her afterwards because...
Well, that was a big... I know that feeling because there was a specific manager that I had started at DCA with. Dave. I don't want to go into names here, but Dave of the Perfect Hair. No, Dave had come over and he was in Adventureland with us. And he was a Jungle Cruise skipper. I mean, he had worked it. So he used to come down and he would jump on my boats. And this was, I mean, at a time where I think the OG was a little bit more relaxed. I think that they were more willing to take a joke that was in the spirit of the jungle that wasn't exactly written down and let you run with it because, you know, if you had still the ride's interests at heart, you know, that was very much that tone. And so he would come down and we would just laugh at, you know.
Oh, that's great.
No, he was fantastic. So another link that we have in common that I wanted to make sure we talked about is Skipper Tiffany.
Right.
Who we love. Yay, Skipper
He's
Tiffany.
She's got some cool stuff coming up right now.
Yeah, getting married. Yeah. Which, that's amazing.
Yes, that is amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get up there for the wedding, but I don't know if I'm not flying or
no,
driving.
I wish I could. Tiffany was, I was there at her PA. I was there when she got signed off, and then I was there at her last boat. So I had a big symmetry with her, and I remember on her PA when she was getting signed off. I want to say it was Randy who was signing her off. No, I'm sorry,
just,
it wasn't. I'm sorry,
I just
it wasn't.
35th,
it was Jordan.
All right.
I can't remember who it was doing her sign off, but she flubbed the joke. She was going through. She said, "Oh, to the left, there's a Bengal tiger. You know, it's fine though, folks, because it has its trunks on."
I heard about her
first boat with guests. And then she was so mortified that she recovered beautifully. But it was one of those moments that, you know, I would ride her boat, you know, years later and months later and whatever, and, you know, expect her to flub that jump because that was the best.
She, one of the coolest things, and I don't know, I can see her cringing if she's hearing this, because she knows what I'm going to say if she hears it. I took like some kind of burlap tarp. I don't know why we had it, but we had it, and I put it all around me, and I decided to come through the queue, you know, with the guests, with this thing on, and it's completely covering me.
Like a Russian, you know.
Or something, you know. Mamushka. And I was walking really slow, and you can't see my face, and it was like, it looked like something out of Lord of the Rings. This thing is coming through the queue. And she's doing unload, and backload, load two. And that's where I was coming through, and, you know, you have to grab them by the arm and bring them into the boat. And she sees this creepy thing from Lord of the Rings coming at her. And she's like, "Oh, please, please don't look at me," you know. And sure enough, I looked at her and, "Hi." And she just about, like, froze up because she didn't know what this thing was, what's wrong with this person. And she tells the story better, but it was I still laugh. I'll be driving and I'll think of it and I'll be laughing because then I got on the boat, you know, I'm like on a break and I'm going doing goofy stuff on my break. I don't know if anyone's allowed to do that anymore, but.
And she is just, there was not another person that I've ever worked with at Disney who had her level of enthusiasm and integrity. And she was, if anyone was born with a Disney stamp on her soul that was meant to work at the park, she was absolutely the perfect. And
it's as if she met Walt or something.
Yeah, she was a gem, and probably hates us for talking about this because she's so modest. And
yeah, no, and, you know, I didn't know, because when I left in 03, you know, she continued on. I didn't know about story time at the Tiki Room until that last night when she did some story time at the Tiki. So I, you know, I taped all that stuff for her too. Yeah. But yeah, I there's something special about both of those crews. I still keep in touch with both of my trainers from the 98 mm-hmm. and the 99. And
who was your trainer in 98?
Jason, mm-hmm. and then Scott. Which was interesting because Scott came in as I was leaving mm-hmm. my first tour, and then later he was my trainer as I came to my second tour. And I think both times I was supposed to get a different trainer, and mm-hmm. I got them on pure luck. Random. You know, and you know, we still communicate. But yeah, with Tiffany, it was like there's a few people there, you know, Mike, Tiffany, the other Mike, you know, there's some people there that you know, you can't, if you line them all up, you wouldn't be able to go, that was a skipper. But you could almost.
But she would have been, at any attraction, she would have been the best person. I mean, you could have put her in Storybook or put her anywhere, and she would have been amazing. So, but enough about embarrassing her, because anyone who doesn't know her. But anyway, so on, this actually was part of the discussion with Benny and Kaz, was on Tiffany's last boat, didn't you get a little something special?
I brought it with me.
Oh my goodness. I'll have to take a picture to pass this along.
You can't see it on audio, but I brought this with me. And I actually think, if anything, I want to talk to the Imagineer. Maybe they could put it in the window at the Tiki Bar forever so everyone can see it. I don't know, because I'm not there to pass it.
Sure, to pass it down. You're not a jungle to pass it on to someone else.
And even though I was like in connections to get back there, that never happened. So I'm like, well, maybe I can put it in, because, you know, Jerry will be on that picture on that wall
forever.
And I'm thinking, this, you know, here it is. And it was worn by so many people. That's why it's worn down. But I got the list.
Okay, so what's the list? This is, by the way, this is the jungle talisman
It's wrapped in burlap, and it's got a brown string that ties it around the burlap, and it's got the rope that you wear around your neck. And this talisman, it looks like almost like the spear reflector, the shield that the natives have. It's very cool. And there's this list. They don't know who the first two are for sure, but we have on this list, I don't know what the order is, but I'll just go from the top. It goes Mike Poocher, ? Kip Hart.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't be saying last names.
That's fine.
Names.
No, that's fine.
All right, let me just start it over just in case. Okay, so if you read this little piece of paper that's as old as the talisman, you've got Mike, Kip, Tiffany, Mike, Kaz, Benny, Mandy,
Renee,
Brian, and then me. I'm the last one.
Mm-hmm.
So I, until I can figure out a way of
passing it on to someone.
I'm thinking maybe this belongs in the Trader Sam bar.
Somewhere.
In a museum somewhere.
This belongs in a museum somewhere.
Because if it goes to the wrong person,
it'll be lost.
And I'm not saying I'm the right person. I was so honored to get this. It's like insane. There's an Imagineer who used to be a skipper who had a lot to do with the Trader Sam bar. I want to try to get to him and say, look, this needs to be
with the history.
Yeah,
the...
it's just perfect for that place and a good, safe end. Because if, you know, like even with like those videotapes I took of the people, most of those people didn't care. You know, they might care today. Like, oh yeah, how do I get that tape?
Mm-hmm.
Even though there's no real way to watch it. But it's like I noticed people would rather email a photo than have a photo in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just in New York, in Long Island. I couldn't even find a postcard of Long Island. I'm like, what? So I realized as the world changes, people don't care about certain things. So I would hate to pass this down to someone and have them like lose it or throw it in a box. So I'd really like to get it to a place where it can be appreciated with the list, you know, with the burlap, you know. Mm-hmm. And my goal beside that, which is a relatively new goal, I actually want to take this list of the names and etch it in bamboo and give every person who's on the list their own bamboo piece, and of course bamboo from the jungle if possible. But that way they can remember this, you know, and then like the ultimate place would be. But yeah, I brought it with me for this, you know, even though you can't see it. So I thought I would bring it. Exactly.
No,
so it's funny you brought it up. No. I forgot it was in my pocket.
Yeah, no, it came up in the prior podcast. So, well, good. That's a good chunk of time.
Yeah, and I...
and we could probably do another hour of the jungle talk and jungle stories.
Yeah, because we didn't even talk about the spears and the backside of the wall. Real quick, did you always say backside of water? What did you say?
I did backside of water. I tended to be really restless with my jokes. And it was for me, I did stand up back in mid to early 90s. And I mean, fairly decently successful with it. I actually did, you know, some clubs and up in Spokane, Washington, and Seattle and those areas. I did a lot of improv and I did some stand-up at the same time. And I was always the same way with my jokes and my set, where even if a joke, not if it killed, but if it was solid, but it was, you know, I would rotate a lot of jokes through.
Yeah.
But my favorite joke was the nighttime joke going underneath the... going underneath Schweitzer, if you had a light, you could say, okay, guys, I want you to look at this. Turn off all your outside lights and do the spotlight. And, you know, if you look really closely, you'll see little reflective flecks of metal. And that's called pyrite or fool's gold. Now, the amazing thing is this is only found in Cuba, Jamaica, and here. The only place in the world this is found. And you folks are so lucky to be able to see this, the absolute true pyrite of the Caribbean. Yeah,
that's
was my...
That's great. No, I never even heard of that. That's awesome.
Those were my sediments, exactly.
I would do some things like that.
People would take it for granted.
Yeah. Well, I would take a lot of... not on my watch is what I would say, but I never did the backside of one. People get mad. Guests who were like groupies of the ride, they would get mad they didn't hear it.
But that's like going to a Journey concert and not hearing Don't Stop Believin'.
I see.
I mean, that's, you know.
Well, no, I understand it, but I never, you know, I didn't sure. want to. So I never did that. And I'd always say, see, you can breathe underwater, you know.
Which is a good joke.
Right. But what was funny was, and that Dave you were talking about earlier got mad at me because I didn't say two of his heads for one of yours, because he has like seven heads. So I always said one of his heads for one of yours or whatever. And I didn't say it, not exactly, an OG situation. It's just he was waiting to hear the joke and he didn't hear it the way he wanted to hear it. So I know he wasn't happy, but yeah, if we do this again.
Well, we can stretch the time or split this or we can see. So what was your, I mean, you had a few walnuts that you would go back to that were the things that you were known for.
Well, the one thing, and I've only heard one other persons say it since I left. Because back when I did it, no one said, you know, when you come up to the natives dancing, I would say, this is a good place to be headed. Whereas the spiel was, this is not the place to be
it's
headed.
It's a dangerous place to be headed.
Yeah, did they say it's a dangerous place to be? I forgot how it goes now, but I said it the opposite way. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was brilliant because you're going into the worst place you could possibly go right mm-hmm. now. But my first skipper, my trainer, Jason, when we would go into the jungle during the day, especially if a boat was coming, you know, you'd have to quick hide behind a tree or something. But if you got to a place where there was nothing really good hiding, he said, just don't move. If you don't move, they won't see you. And sure enough, they didn't, because there's a million things to look at. They're listening to the spiel. They're just looking at everything. So they didn't see me standing right there. Or no one like reacted or pointed. You knew they didn't see you because he said, don't move and they won't see you. So I incorporated that into my spiel. And when we got to the dancing natives, I'd say, shh, don't move. And then this boat sitting there with a full of guests in front of the mm-hmm. so it's just almost,
it's the anticipation gag
or just stupid, like you're gonna be seeing your boat in front of them, how can you, just because you're not moving, you know, they could see the boat. So I'd say an old skipper taught me this, if we don't move they won't see it, okay, we better keep moving, you know. So I would do just the weirdest things on my spiel that weren't considered. It wasn't.
They were random, but they were still in the spirit of the jungle.
Yeah, it would never be. Like people used to say, we want a grad night spiel. We want a. I'm like, well, I don't know.
I never even did those on grad nights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't do those.
I could never work. I mean, you know, it's still to the point where I don't swear when I'm at the park as a guest.
I don't even know they swear in that. I never went on a grad night
spiel. I'm just saying, it's so ingrained in me that even when I go as a guest, I pick up litter still. People
yeah,
are, you know, I'll still offer to grab people's cameras and take pictures of
that.
Them.
Yeah,
that's just burned into my soul, and I could never, you know, there were even some jokes like, you know, the Pocahontas joke, things like that. I could never.
I don't know any of them, so don't worry.
And it's funny because I had this weird reputation the first time around of, you know, being off OG, and there were occasionally times where I'd say things to crack other skippers up or whatever it was, but I saw stuff other people was doing and I was just, you know, it was mm-hmm. never anything I could do because for me, there was a reverence. And it's funny that, you know, I don't feel like I fetishized the jungle, as Benny put it, where, you know, it's become this kind of quasi-religious thing for me. You know, I don't sit and talk about it, I don't think about it. The podcast came out of, you know, the discussion where we were talking about, you know, there's some great stories out there. There's great people and
we didn't even tell the stories. I feel bad.
And but it carries with you. It's going to be something that, you know, stick it on my gravestone or whatever it is. I mean, this is something that's going to be with me my entire life. So why not get some good friends together or people who, you know, have had the experience of being a skipper and put it down, not only for other generations to come into this, but just, you know, it's a great time. It's a great time talking to friends, and it's a great time, kind of hanging out and chatting jungle and letting a bunch of people listen. We amazing the first 2 weeks of the podcast being up. We had 250 hits off iTunes.
Really? No kidding.
We have we had almost 300 unique people on Facebook.
Can't imagine.
We hit the pages, 130. I think we have 140 friends on Facebook now. So I'm just looking forward to keeping this going and having more people sit down and talk to people and really getting a feel as a gestalt of what, why this is cool, why we, you know.
Well, there is something special, and I feel honored to be part of that group and asked to be here as well. This is very cool. And that may sound fake, but it's not. I mean, it's, I always used to say, why don't, and I guess they're going to do it on the 11th, there's going to be like a reunion kind of thing. And this is something interesting they did at the movie ride. I opened the Great Movie Ride and the MGM Studios, but the Great Movie Ride team, they actually had a 20-year anniversary reunion. And Disney actually set it up so that not only this group of like 100 people got to come in and ride the last Great Movie Ride of that night, but then they got to walk the track just like we did when we opened the ride. And then at the end of the track, they came to a reception. I don't know if it was where they show the film or if it was in Oz, but there was a reception that they set up. Like, who does that? I couldn't believe they did. I had to miss it. I was in a jungle somewhere, a real jungle. That's a story I should tell you real quick. But whatever it is, I missed the reunion. But I think that's something unique, you know. And Skippers, you know, there's, you know, Skippers, one of them, you know, look where they've all gone, you know, and what if they, and they have a little piece of that in them, you know. I think it's, there's something special about, it's not so much just, oh, I worked at Disney, oh, I worked at five different Disney parks, oh, I worked at the Jungle Cruise, there's something, and that's snobby, it's just something special about it.
Yeah. You know? So now, how did the real jungle compare to?
All right, the
were you telling jokes on Survivor?
No, what happened was, I did Survivor and the real Gilligan's Island. Mm-hmm. Both, I've actually been to 13 jungles in 13 years, but the Survivor and the Gilligan were like 3 months and 2 months long. Mm-hmm. And you're just living out there, even though you get a somewhat of a hotel room, you're still living in the jungle, you know. Whereas here, if I had a cake at dessert and a fly landed on it, it'd be like, ugh, I need a new piece of cake. There, you know what? I don't care because you're living in the jungle. Not eat the fly, but you'll eat the... Maybe I'll pull the...
eat the fly. You'll pretend it's a black sprinkle and it's
No, delicious. I still won't go... I won't go that far. But it's like you just don't care and you're in the heat. But it was so weird being in the real jungle after being in our jungle and seeing the same trees that Walt brought in, whatever, you're, you know, 55... years old, you know, those have been growing ever since. I would love to see what it looked like back then, you know, where they could look out over, like I could see Jerry looking out over all of us, but all of those trees grew up, so you can't do that anymore. But not that Jerry was there back then, but you know what I mean?
But yeah.
But being in the real jungle, it was so weird, because when we'd come back to the dock, you know, I'm waiting until it's completely clear. So I'm watching that their feet and their hands aren't going out and waiting to stop. And I'm lining up and I would be like, you're all clear. You know, and I'd do that really long. And it got to be where other people were saying it was kind of neat, you know. Mm-hmm. And then sure enough, I'm in the real jungle and I'm in a truck full of camera gear. And we're backing up and we're about to fall off the edge of this, like, hill. And so I'd be like, you're all clear. It's the same exact thing until it was said.
Just in a real jungle.
Right, in a real jungle. And then I didn't even realize I said it until after I said it. I'm like, and of course there was no skippers around to react. Like, did you hear what I just said? For real. And it would, like that all the time. Different things would happen to me in the real jungle that would happen in our jungle. Mm-hmm. So it was, what is it, surreal, you know.
Sure. Well, that's getting to the end of our time. So, guys, just wanted to thank you, Skipper Dave. You have always been a good friend personally, and, well, and I'm glad that we got to
and I feel bad for whoever's to listen to this, because I can't imagine what it's like to hear me yapping for this long, well, other than my friends on the other end of a phone, that they're ready for it. You know, these people, yeah.
This is what the stories are about, and this is why we are putting together our Tales from the Jungle Cruise. So, once again, thanks, man. We'll see everyone again next week. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in on the podcast, and just keep the spirit out there, and Kungaloosh, everyone.